acquiring. Precious word, we're going to see some things that God has promised for all those that love Him, for those that are willing to repent of their sins. And we're going to look, first of all, from Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Not long ago, I started a message on the new. The Lord loves new things. Remember, He created a earth that had been not established before. He just spoke it into existence. The whole world, in fact, all things were new. Adam and Eve was created and put in that beautiful garden that He made, and everything was new. No sin anywhere. Everything you look at. It's hard for us to imagine, because everything we look at is tainted. If it's not, it will be tomorrow. It's going to fade, going to rust. But if you can only let your minds try to imagine the beauty of that place that God put Adam and Eve in. Well, there's another place called heaven that surpasses that. And our minds certainly can't understand and comprehend all that's up there, but God gives us a little bit of insight into it. And God just loves new things. Remember, He had ridden down to Jerusalem when He went down, and the people were saying and crying, "Hosanna," and crowning Him king, trying to crown Him king, and He rode upon a colt, a new colt that had never been ridden before. He just loves things new. And God comes into dirty hearts and makes them whole and clean and new. And He said He'd give us a new name and glory. And then He wants to give us a clean heart. And in fact, when Jesus Christ was born, remember, He did a new way. He came into the womb of a virgin whose father was God. That was a new way for sure. A virgin, conceive, and God just doing new things all the time. But this morning, He wants to let us know that He has prepared a new thing for us, a place called heaven. But to do that, some old things have got to pass away. And that's going to be what we're going to look at this morning. Mostly, the old passed away. A lot of us would like all the new and hang on to all the old. Can't do it that way, according to the Scripture, and we'll go the Scripture's way. Old things passed away, and then behold, all things new. My dad, he lived like in 7 days, being 95. His mind was as sharp as a tack all his life, and I learned so much from him. If anybody want to know anything about community, you know, even though he's almost 95, just go ask my dad. He had a memory like that. And I remember some things he taught me. He was raised back during the Depression. A lot of us can't remember that. We wasn't born yet. But my dad was born in 1918. And he said, "I don't like antiques." He said, "I grew up with that stuff, and I want something new." Now, I'm not criticizing antiques. You may make your living in them, and I like antiques myself. But if you want to put new stuff in your house, you got to get rid of old. Both of them won't fit. And Dad said, I just don't like that old stuff. I tripped my bare toes on it in the house, and I had the old churns, and I was thankful when we got an electric churn. He said, "I don't want that old stuff anymore." Well, if you and I want a place called heaven, we've got to understand some old things have got to be passed away. First of all, let's look at the Scripture where He tells us and get our minds focused on that which is new. Because a lot of people, if they don't see the aspects and the ability to seize that prize, then they become content in the old paths. And Jeremiah told us, "Seek ye the old paths and walk therein, and there you shall find rest for your soul." There's a lot of things we don't need to change, and that's a blessed old book. See, a lot of people won't change some things, but they won't change the wrong things. And we have to cling on to the ways of Christ, the way of God. They're eternal. So let's read the text together in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
To him that overcometh will I give to eat of a hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying he that receiveth it. Thank God we can look forward to that day when he will give each and every one of us a new name. When you have your children born, it's pretty customary, the way I say it, you know, the father and the mother, one or the two or the both, get to name their child. And Christ Jesus, since I was born of the blood, it's he that gets to give me a new name. And I'm looking forward to that new name. He already knows what it is, and we'll be introduced to it when we get to heaven. But let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. We're talking about the overcomers now. We're talking about the new life in Christ Jesus. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of a city of my God, which is new, Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. So it seems as though that he gives us a new name, and then he puts within us a new name. Look what the text says. I will write upon him my new name. For a born-again child of God, there is that relationship that exists between Christ Jesus and the believer. It's an impotent relationship, and you can come to him anytime you want to. All the troubles, all of the things of the world can't keep you from getting to him. But it's going to be finalized in the place called heaven, where we'll have that relationship, each individual, with him. A new name for us, and he'll write upon our hearts his new name. And I'd like to spend the entire message doing that this morning, but that's not the way God is leading me. He's leading me to the fact that, okay, this all sounds wonderful, and it will be wonderful, but it has to be accomplished through the blood. Because there's nothing good about you, or me, or anyone else that will ever give us a place called heaven, and he's going to take us there. But to do that, we have to go back and realize that it's not the way we were born. We were born, I knew you were babies, and even you yourself, no doubt, was a cuddly little beautiful little baby when you were born, but we were born in shape and iniquity, and we were born in sin. And something has to transpire sometime on earth, unless that child dies before it reaches the age of accountability, and many of them do. My wife Sandra lost a little child. I say lost. She miscarried a little baby in her womb. It was 3 months old. And it's in a place called heaven. All the babies that's aborted and all the babies that mothers lose, they're really not lost. They go to a place called heaven. He takes care of them up there. And when we get there, we're going to see a lot of new things. But those people that's lived upon this earth and have a sane mind, and when they reach age of accountability, they have to realize, and only he can do that, to let us realize that some old things have got to pass away. Let's go back and look, because we're living in a world today just shaping iniquity, the way we were born. Let's go back and look how God created the heavens and the earth, and it was all new. But then man sinned, of course. And let's go back to the book of Genesis. I love the book of Genesis. And we'll read in detail, just a few verses, how some old things started coming in the hearts of men. And that scripture would be found in chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also in flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the way you were born, and that's the way I was born. The Word of God says so. Read that verse again. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We were born in an evil society. We were born and shaping in iniquity. And he saw ahead of time that their thoughts and our thoughts would be evil. So modern man tries to say, well, if you'll just teach him and educate him and teach him all the ways of the world and teach him how Earth Day is so special and all the things, you know, that man looks at. And God doesn't look that way at all. God looks at the heart. He looks at the imagination of the heart, the desires of the heart, the impurities of the heart. And he calls it wickedness. And that old has to pass away to inherit the place that we read about first, a place called heaven. The new name that he'll give us, and he'll write upon us his new name, that relationship forever. Then he continues, verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. One of my favorite verses is the verse we're going to read. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And even though you and I was born and we were in sin, I know we look at little children, we don't like to admit that, and God takes care of them until they reach the age of accountability. But then at that point, whenever that age is, when they realize that they were in sin, and God, the Holy Spirit, does that and causes them to see from that point on, if they refuse to repent and if they refuse to allow the blood of Jesus Christ to take those sins and take those sins, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become white as snow. Only God can do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. But God's grace is sufficient to do that through his shed blood. So let's keep reading over in the book of Genesis, and we see that there's an important story that we need to understand how God teaches us about sin. Remember, there was a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom, the Bible talks much about Sodom. And in this particular chapter, verse 1 of chapter 13, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him unto the south. And when you see Egypt, it's a type of the world. And remember, the children of Israel went down there because of sin, and God delivered them out of the land of Egypt. But let's keep reading in this verse, and we see in verse 10 that there is a place called Sodom. And let's read a little bit what God said about Sodom. And God lifted up his eye, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as I cameth unto Zoar. For those of you that have been to that place, have God had destroyed it, and that's where it was. You can see the boulders and how God destroyed it with brimstone and fire and brimstone. And there's hardly a blade of grass now. But the scripture says that it was a land well watered and green. In fact, Lot cast his eyes upon that, and he wanted the well-watered plains. However, look what God said, verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But
the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You could draw a conclusion that if you look at the world today and you look at even America as a whole, the world today is a place of wickedness. And I know they call evil good and good evil, but that doesn't change the word of God. God says the wickedness of man. Look what happens. He took that beautiful, well-watered plain that he said was there. There's no pictures of it, but the word of God says it's a well-watered plain, and now it's a place of desolation. That's what sin does. Sin does it to a heart. Sin does it to a nation. Sin does it to the landscapes. Because of sin, we have all the problems in the world today, and you could write a book, and it wouldn't anyone read it, because you just look around, and why read what you can open your eyes and see? That the world is wicked, and they do wickedness, but yet they advertise it and call it pleasure. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. But the end thereof is death and a place called hell. And the only way we're going to escape that and go to heaven is let some things in their heart become new. And I can't produce it, neither can you. But the blood of Jesus can. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we want to look at that thought this morning from the old to the new. We all desire, surely we do, or you wouldn't be here this morning, to go to a place called heaven. But we've looked and we see how the world in Abram's day and in Lot's day was sin, but the men of Sodom were wicked. And you can draw an emphasis today and a conclusion that look around today, and what transpired in Sodom then is transpiring in the world today, and it is accepted for the most part, but not by God and not by you, not by me, if we're saved by the grace of God and we have allowed the Holy Ghost to penetrate their heart and remove all that sin. Then we have the mind of Christ, because we're supposed to think of him, about him and the way he thinks. And the way Christ thinks, that he gave us the scripture. And the scripture is God speaking to man and letting us know what God needs us to know about a place called heaven and a place called hell and about weakness of this world. So God says the only way we're going to get to heaven is through and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I accept that premise because he tells us in this precious word that we were born in sin. But God wants to change that, and he has prepared a way. So we've looked, first of all, at the classification that God uses about sin. We have seen the clarity that he has given us about the word of God telling us there is a place called heaven and just a few of the things that's going to be there. One thing that will not be there, and that is sin, because that has passed away. And the only way we're going to get to heaven is if it has passed away. So the classification now of man and of the world is wickedness. There's wickedness in high places, and it's an accepted practice anymore. And if you notice, the people that are trying to change things and make things better, there's so much resistance. That people like the Hollywood lifestyle, and they like to sneer at the righteous and the saved. They like to poke fun at us. That doesn't bother me one little bit. I've got a lot of problems. I don't have time to tell you about them. But one problem God has kept me from having is something called peer pressure. Never did have it as a child. I certainly don't have it today. It doesn't matter what people say or think about the things of the world. They don't infect me or don't appeal to me whatsoever. That's because he put within me a new heart. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm far from it. But the things of the world, the sin of the world just doesn't appeal to me. It just doesn't have any appeal whatsoever to me, because he put within me a desire to go to a place called heaven. And I realize the world is not going there. Accepted practice today that if you believe in all the ways of the world, you will be accepted in society. That doesn't interest me either, because it didn't interest Christ Jesus and Apostle Paul, nor any of the other disciples. Except, of course, for Judas, who was a devil from the beginning.
But God wants us to know that the classification of man, as he tells us, is the thoughts and the impurities and the imagination of his heart is evil continually. And so God wants to clear that all out. And he wants to establish in us a new and living way. So Christ Jesus came and he died for our sins. He arose and ascended. He took that precious blood that he shed, redeeming blood, powerful blood, and he took it to the throne of heaven and put it on the mercy seat. And there on the mercy seat, that blood overshadows. And God is looking down through the mercy seat at you and I. And he sees us. Genesis told us he saw us in their imagination and their wicked thoughts. And let the world say what it wants to, and let the world do what it wants to, but the world without Christ is going to a place called hell. I know it's not popular, but God did not call us into popularity. I know it got a lot of people's head cut off and a lot of people put in prison, and that's okay too. Because Paul lost his head, they say, and we know James, the brother of John, lost his head. But instantly, as the head was severed, and John the Baptist lost his head. But as the head was severed, their soul went to a place called heaven, where all things are new. And the resurrected body, when Christ comes back to get those dead corpses, and then the Spirit of God, which is with him now, and they come back, the Spirit, which is the real them, and the soul and spirit comes back, and the bodies which are in dust now, no doubt, they reunite and all go to a new place called heaven. And if you get to talk to John the Baptist, and if you get to talk to James, and get to talk to Paul and those other disciples that died for the cause of Christ, and I'm sure you will, because heaven's not only going to be a new place, it's going to be everlasting forever and forever and ever. And surely there's no days there. All we know down here is days and weeks and months. But up there is one continuous time period. And the sun is Christ Jesus himself, the light of the city. So I'm sure there will be adequate time for us. And I know Christ Jesus, we're going to spend a lot of time with him, and that's great. But then we're going to get to spend some time with those we love. We're going to get spend some time and talk to those of old. And I know the Bible says, former things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But we're going to get to go and get to refresh the life we live down here. And we're going to see those others that died for the cross of Christ. They're going to be martyrs, of course. They're going to get special rewards that you and I don't know anything about because they died in the faith. So I say to you, it's worth every mile of the trip, and if we're persecuted, if we're locked up, no matter what the world does to us or for us, it doesn't matter. Peer pressure should have no right of way in their heart and life. Don't matter what anyone says or anyone thinks, it's only what Christ Jesus thinks. So he comes down to redeem fallen man. The classification of sin is an awful thing. But so clear as the aspect that God wants to remove us from that sin. He wants to transform our heart. He wants to create in us within us a new heart, a clean heart. And the only way we can get to a place called heaven is to allow him to do that. So the scripture tells us in detail, we must first of all admit we're sinners. We have to agree with the word of God. I've talked to people before. And they don't believe, and they want to go to heaven. They believe there's a hell, and they believe Jesus died for their sins. But they say they believe in heaven. And they believe that without him, they're going to hell. I've talked to people like, there's people of all walks of life. And then I get to the place, and I talk about the scriptures. And they say to me, some of them have, if I could only believe all the Bible. I just hush talking. I can't make them believe the Bible, neither can you. But I'll say this, according to the word of God, if you don't believe in detail, in spirit, every letter, everything God says about everything, then how would you know to believe that Christ Jesus died for your sins and the only way to heaven? See, there'd be a doubt in your mind. I'm saying that God says, this is my word. And he said this word must be established in their heart. We don't understand it all. We don't know it all. But I believe that God has written to the prophets of old and let us know what we need to know, and every word is true. Let's go back and look at the classification of sin, how it talked about Sodom. Not only do we realize that Sodom was a sinful place, but men were sinners in Sodom. You say, how were they? Well, we know they were Sodomites, number one, but we also know a lot more about Sodom, because in the book of Ezekiel, he talks about the Sodomites, those people lived there, they had pride, and they were lifted up in pride. And it was a time of prosperity. There was nothing about Sodom in those days that was despairing except for sin. It was a land, remember, well-watered, the well-watered plains of Sodom. They had a lot of riches down there. And the world today has a lot of riches. And the world today has a lot of prosperity. And certainly the world today has a lot of pride. So America pretty much is like a place called Sodom. Sin is accepted, and they're enjoying everything that sin offers. And God had a beautiful place down there, and God has given us a beautiful America. But see, society tends to accept the way of the world and the sins, accepting sexuality, accepting change of sexuality. It's just an accepted practice. Not in God's standard, it's not. May I remind you what happened to Sodom? He said, I will not let it survive. He came down and destroyed it. And now that beautiful, well-watered plain, if you go and look and even look at the films, it's just hardly a blade of grass anywhere. It's just sand and sinking sand. That's destruction. That's sin. That's what sin has to offer. Before those men of Sodom became so wicked, God designed it and built a beautiful place. And is it amazing that that place is located near the Dead Sea? You know where the Dead Sea is? The Dead Sea is way down below sea level, which shows the depravity there is in sin, the lowness of sin. It's just so down below anything that God created. It's almost, how would man do this? How does man get so awful and so sinful? Well, God said in the book of Genesis that man's heart, that's every man's heart, after the fall of Adam, was full of wickedness, and the thoughts were evil on a continual basis. That's an awful picture, isn't it? That pictures the word that I hate, the two words that I hate most in the English language, no hope. No hope of anything about that beautiful place that we read about in Revelations. And the only desire that's going to give us that is that Christ Jesus take that old sin nature away from us and create within us a new heart. And without that, there's no hope. There's no hope for the world without Christ. They're going to die and perish and go to a devil's hell. You say, well, that's an awful message. It's a wonderful message when you look at the reality of what you can do to change that. Just believe the book. Believe that God sent his son. He realized their thoughts were and their imaginations was wicked. And he said, there's one way to ratify that, just one. I'll send my son. I will come down and I'll shed my blood, holy blood. And he was without sin. And he died for our sins. And his blood is sufficient to cleanse every heart from all impurities and take that old nature that we were born in, that the whole world enjoys today, and will take them to a place called hell. But once the Holy Spirit comes to their heart and quickens us and shows us that we don't have to die like that, then that no hope clause disappears, and there is hope of a place called heaven. I call that good news, wouldn't you? That I was born in sin, shape of iniquity, and head to the devil's hell, but Christ died for my sins. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Some of you went up this week and examined and looked at a replica of the ark. Hope I get to go one of these days. I'd like to talk to you about what a wonderful thing. And I'm sure it brings a reminder of the sin that there was when God came down. And we read the story a while ago. God said, Noah, you found grace. And you and your family just do what it said. Prepare the ark. And I'll get you through all the destruction. Can you imagine? God came down and Noah and his sons did exactly what God said in their wives. And they went on the ark and God closed the door. And may I remind you what the scripture says about the door? There's one door to get to heaven. Christ Jesus is that door. And the scripture says, when I close a door, no man can open it. But if I open the door, no man can shut it. And God said, Noah, come on in. People say and realize what a hard time Noah had getting all those animals. He didn't have anything to do with that. All he did was do what God says, and God took the animals on board. And people say, how was there room for all those animals? That reminds you that baby giraffes were just little when they were born. Why did he have to take a full-grown anything? We don't know what God did, but we know that, I mean, common sense would say, why would you take a full-scale, full-grown elephant on there when you take a little baby elephant and let it kind of grow up on there? God takes care of all those things. All we have to do and know and realize is that God says, prepare your soul. And the only way you can do that is let him prepare your soul. Noah prepared the ark, and it was safety over the troubled water. No steering wheel on it, nothing to guide it. God just guided it to the tallest mountain and let the waters abate, and now he comes out of the ark. And God has made for you and for me an ark of safety. A troubled world it is, and we don't know anything of what it's going to be because the Bible says in the last day, perilous times shall come. Men shall seek unrest, and they'll live in that unrest and be content in it. The few of us, thank God that we heard the call, and we accepted the fact that we were dead and dying and trespasses and sin, and we were headed to hell. But we just did what Noah did. We found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he was that ark of safety. And if you're in him, Christ Jesus, you're headed to a place called heaven. But the sad news is, we were born in the old style, and our thoughts and imaginations was wicked. And will remain so until he changes our hearts. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. Brother Randy, come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. I didn't go exactly the way I thought I was going, but that's not my charge. That's God's. He just wants you now to realize that we were born in sin, and unless you allow God to change you, you'll never go to heaven. And many of us that are saved still don't do the will of God. We don't recognize, we don't pray enough, we don't seek his face enough. We let pride and things of the world influence us, and what someone else thinks, we let change us. Let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, also be in you. And Christ Jesus never deterred. He was never disappointed. He never did anything wrong. And it didn't matter what the world did to him. They crucified him. He came to die. But Christ Jesus came to save us from our sins. And we need to pray for those that's lost. This is not a hate message, because God changed my heart and there's not a bit of hate within me. It's a message of love that I hate the sin people are in, and God does too. But God so loved the world. And once you get saved, God puts that love in your heart, and no matter how wicked man is and how awful they are, the desire of your heart, they would repent and come to Jesus. That's not a message of hate. That's a message of love. Your head's bowed. Let God speak to your heart this morning. And if you're not saved, what an opportunity it is to come. While it's still day and while the Son of Christ is shining and the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, did not we realize that we read a verse of Scripture that says, my spirit shall not always strive with man? How many chances he give a lost person? I don't know. He might give you one. He might give you 100. That's up to him. But he will not always strive with the sinner. At some point, he'll look down and say, they did not accept what I did. They have no intent to. They won't change your ways. They love the old past they're in, and they won't change. Want to go to heaven, all right. Not willing to let me change the old things in their heart. They love the pleasures of sin too much. And the days of grace will be done away with. That's what we read in the scripture. Sing, Brother Randy. Amen. If you've ever experienced darkness, physical darkness, or darkness of anything, then you start appreciating the light even more, do you not? And the world's getting real dark out there. It really is. And it's going to get darker. Just keep your eyes on the place called heaven. It's all light up there. And realize and know that what we do, we must do quickly while the light, the Holy Ghost, is shining on their lives. Thank you for coming this morning. Don't forget services tonight, 6 o'clock, the Edwards family from Spruce Pine. They go to church where Darren goes. And we're looking forward to that singing. They've been here before and sang a couple of three times, or two or three times, I think, in revival meetings, a couple of songs. They'll have the whole service tonight. Looking forward to that. They really have a touch of God on their lives and hearts. We appreciate them being willing to come today. Let's go to him in prayer. Brother Gary, would you come to the microphone, please, and dismiss us? Thank you for coming. If you're a visitor, we appreciate you being here with us. If you'd like to unite with our church by letter, by baptism, by statement, the new membership committee will be standing right here, and they'll greet you. Set up a time to talk to you. Make sure you're saved. Have questions for us. And it's not painful. It doesn't take long. So as soon as he dismisses, the new membership committee is going to come stand right here. You can come right now if you will. And if you'd like to unite with the church, you just come and talk to them. Brother Gary.
Father, we thank you for this precious opportunity to be in the Father's house, to feel your presence one more time, Father, and to have the preached word. Lord, we thank you for the preached word, and we just pray, Father, for all those in the world that's lost. Lord, our hearts are breaking for them. Lord, help them, Lord, just to shine your light in their souls through your Holy Spirit, we pray. May they hear the word of God and Lord, receive it, and Lord, into their hearts as well. Thank you for each one that's here this day, and we pray that you bless each home. You know the needs of each one here. We pray, God, that you supply